Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Utah, give me two.
What's up, everybody? I'm Michael Govian. This is the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Palazzo.
That man right there is Sam Wershing. It's me and Sam doing a show. It's not something we've had a pleasure of doing all that much so far this year, so I'm really excited to be here with my main man, Sam. Follow us on Twitter, Palazzo Podcast, 2L's, 2Z's.
Utah.
I'm an MJ Govian. Sam's at SamFBB1, and if you're here in the live chat, jump in, take advantage of it, ask questions. 1 weekend, what do we know? This is the 1 week anniversary of the MLB season so far. So, Sam, first off, hello.
Hello, man. How you doing, Ba?
How you doing, buddy?
Sorry.
Hey, Ba. How you doing, Ba?
Palazzo.
You got your Mariners. Is it a jersey? Is that a sweatshirt? What is that?
So, the jerseys this year suck, right? Like, they made this big deal about how...
I've heard the story.
...sent it out to Fanatics. So, they're making these hoodie jerseys that... like the old school jerseys, and my wife got this for me for my birthday back in February. So like, yeah, I'm rocking. It's a hoodie, but it's got the nice patches on it. It's super comfy, looks sweet. I got the Mariner Riz just dripping all off of me, so watch out.
Well, you know, people don't know Sam. He's big on his Mariners. It's his world out there in the Pacific Northwest, a nice area for sure. But how you feel about the Mariners 1 weekend? Give it to us now. I want to hear it.
Well, they failed at doing everything that they set out to do this offseason. They went to purge strikeouts, and they wanted to really develop a lineup that had more contact. And in 7 games, they struck out 74 times. They made both Boston and Cleveland look like they are going to be pitching juggernauts. I mean, it's 1 weekend. Like, what did we really learn? We learned that 1 week samples suck for some teams and do great for others. Like you're on the other end with your Tigers. Your Tigers are 5-1, baby.
Go Tigers.
Well, I assume opening day's right now in Detroit right here. It's a beautiful 40-degree day, overcast.
Yes.
And I don't know what the score is at this moment, but yeah, Tarek Skubal is a guy that I wish I had more shares of. It was very clear to me that he would take over this year and become an elite pitcher, and so far so good. Although, you know, some people will tell you, oh, it was the Oakland A's and now it's the Chicago White Sox before that. So maybe Tarek Skubal's overrated. No, I don't don't think so. I mean, a production is production.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that you can only play against who the schedule puts you up against, right? And there was a couple of years ago, Ranger Suarez came out of nowhere and had this phenomenal 11 or 13 game run to end the season, won people a lot of leagues that were able to pick him up, and everybody pointed to the soft schedule that he played against. But the point was, is that against a soft schedule, he dominated, right? Like that, you do what you're supposed to do in those situations. So I love Tariq Skubal. You know, he's doing Tariq things, and he is from Seattle University. That's where he pitched in college.
I know. So, I was going to squeeze that in, but you beat me to it. Well done. Nice job.
Genius.
Pretty cool. But Might be the most successful pitcher ever from Seattle University in Major League Baseball history.
I think that is an accurate statement. That's a fact, Jack. So I don't know what to tell you about anything else, but he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And there's this nice, fun, you know, people use the term glob, but there's this nice, fun grouping of pitchers that, you know, are kind of percolating out of it and showing some real signs. Him, Cole Reagans. You know, this is supposed to be the year that Bryce Miller and Brian Wu step up in the American League. And so, you know, there's a lot of young pitchers that are a lot of fun to look at. Tariq's one of them for sure.
Now, what's the story on Brian Wu? When do you expect him back?
So he's got an elbow inflammation. So it could literally be next week. It could literally be next year. I'm trying to not have an expectation or think about it. So.
Oh! Tim's pissed. What's up, Tim? How you doing, buddy? He says, Skubal left in one inning too long. Who needs a quality start? Oh, man. Sorry, buddy. Is that how that went now? I have to check the score on that game. But yeah, Tariq Skubal's still very good. And Brian Wu, I actually drafted Emerson Hancock when me and Jeff did our main event draft last week. Thanks to Jeff, my benefactor, who made this thing possible. It's incredible that we're doing co-managing a main event, which is something that I think you brought up to me about 3 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, we had talked a little bit about it because I have to, you know, go around the rules to be able to gamble here in Washington. They're just not a big fan of it. So not yet anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't want you to feel slighted that this Jeff guy approached. You
know, I don't at all.
Okay, good. Because he offered up. He's like, hey, I'll do the entry if you can show me the ways. I'm like, deal. I got the experience. You got the cash. Let's come together. I do admit I'm already having a few regrets about that draft. I think because Jeff disagreed on a few things. It's not Jeff's fault. Jeff, I love you. If you listen to the show right now, come on. You know, I'll take full responsibility for everything that happens here. It's not your fault. But I wanted to draft Stephen Kwan, and Jeff said, isn't he in the minor? He's going to be in the minor leagues. And I'm like, wait, no. Am I crazy? He freaked me out in that moment there because I was like, did I miss something? I mean, no, Stephen Kwan's going to be a leadoff hitter, and he is a leadoff hitter. And I kind of wish we had him. I also kind of wish we had Jung Ho Lee. He wasn't with me on Jung Ho Lee either, but I will give Jeff full credit because he wanted to draft Juan Soto at pick 11 in the first round, and I didn't want to do that, but he talked me into it, and that looks like that's going to be a good call.
Soto fell to 11 in your draft?
Yeah.
I in a dynasty league in the offseason before he landed anywhere, I traded him for a huge package because I didn't trust the landing spot, but once he landed in New York, I think you're going to see the best version of Juan Soto for the next few years. And I think that if the Yankees don't re-sign him after this year, that I hope the Yankees are cursed for the rest of whatever. And no, don't at me, Yankees fans. Like, you guys have Juan Soto and every opportunity to sign him to a long-term deal. You know, he's definitely absolutely not going to be a Giancarlo Stanton, you know.
No.
Don't be that guy.
100%.
No, don't be that guy. So
no, don't be that guy.
Yeah. And the Yankees, you know, we're 1 week in. The Yankees are 6-1. That was another team that I thought was going to be at the bottom of the AL East. I actually had a couple conversations where I just didn't trust them and their pitching.
Wow.
Going out, I really felt like that could be a team that was not going to do so well. And they are absolutely proving me wrong. They are just marching through everybody that goes up in front of them right now. So
them and breaking news. Breaking news, Alex Lang, AJ Hinch is going to, this is a Closer Monkey live tweet, AJ Hinch is going to Alex Lang with two outs and two on in a one-run game in the ninth. What? I can't keep up with this guy. This guy's pissing me off. He makes it very clear that Lang is, I even wrote this morning or 2 days ago when I was working on some rankings for the Patreon, which we'll talk about momentarily, that Alex Lang was out of the picture. It's over. Party's over. Now here he is. See, this is what happens. You just, Jason Foley's the guy. He's getting all these saves. And then yesterday in the doubleheader, Alex Fajardo comes in, blows the game. It was a 1-0, like one hitter combined for the Tigers. But Alex Fajardo's in the ninth and they lose outright. What are you doing, Hinch? Come on. What the hell?
And he's supposed to be like the manager. Like he,
yeah.
I expect big things from him as a manager. You know, when he came up from Houston and seemed to be, you know, the voice of reason during that scandal, that he had no interest in it. You know, he wants to play baseball and win, but he wants to do it, you know, quote unquote, the right way.
I mean, they are 5-1, you know.
I'm not saying that he's not, they're not doing well. I'm just saying, you know. So that whole closer thing, that's what you learn in the first week of baseball, is that we really don't know anything quite yet. Like there are, I think Juan Soto is going to be a strong fixture in the Yankees lineup. I think that's an easy statement to say. But anything else, like who the closer is going to be for Detroit, like, yeah. Foley, I spent a good amount of money on Fabon in this last weekend. And, you know, if he doesn't get the closing opportunities, that's just money wasted. You know, should have been a $20 bid instead of a $250 bid.
God damn it. There you go. You, closers are hell. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it always was. Alex Lang is in the game, making a difference as a closer. Suddenly, you just can't keep track of these things. It's a buzzkill. But we'll do the best we can here to give you guys accurate information here. 1 week in, what do we know? What have we learned? Well, you know, we know it's business time around here. So we're going to fire up the music, get in the groove, Flight of the Conchords. Fly to the Conchords.
I loved that show when it first came out. I was addicted to this show.
So good. Still great. I think it holds up quite well. Funny show. Oh my God,
absolutely.
All right, there it is. Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Girl. We got a lot of good stuff for you here. Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Palazzo!
I wanted to let you know that my pal, our pal here, our Palazzo Podcast pal, Mike Virginia, who's not with us today. Also, Britton was going to be on the show, but then I told him I wasn't going to do the show. And then he's like, that's great. I got stuff to do. And now we're doing the show. So, Britton, sorry about that. Yeah, we love you, buddy. Follow Britton Allen on Twitter, 2 T's, 2 L's.
Utah!
And follow Mike Virginia, _MikeVA. And check out his player notes. He's doing these notes on Twitter every day. He's really putting in the time. He's giving you players. He's telling you what they're doing. Do they suck? Should you trade them? What kind of format would you trade them in? They're very concrete. So _MikeVA on Twitter, X, and get in where you fit in with Mike's notes. And also, the Sunday Fab Show, which I did the first run this past weekend. Be live again on Sunday. Every Sunday we have the show. Mike will be doing the show regularly, so make sure you check that out. We're talking about the week to come, the fabulous waiver wire live chat is what we're calling it, and make sure you get over there on Sunday so you can prepare for the week to come in fantasy baseball. Right, Sam? It's important to prepare for the week.
Everything happens on Sunday. Everything. You have to have all your little notes that you took in during the week, you know. Everybody's got their own little system. Some people just open up their iPhone and just like, oh, I got to remember this name. Oh, I got to remember this. Some people write it down. I'm still a pad and paper kind of a guy, but
that's putting all your
stuff together. You know, you got to have it together and be ready for Sunday and be in here with us Sunday mornings. That's a good place to get a lot of your information wrapped up in your head and able to be make it actionable. So I agree with
Hell
you.
Yeah.
Sunday's important. Sunday, Sunday, yeah. Man.
You're right. You're 100% correct. Sunday's a busy day for weekly leagues and even for picking up fab and waiver wire guys. You daily leagues, though, Sunday's not as important, but it still matters because you're prepping for the week 2-star pitchers. Mike Virginia's got all that and more. We got you covered. The Palazzo Podcast, waiver wire, fabulous live chat. And yes, Alex Lang got the save. How about that? Jason Foley got the win this time. The Tigers win 5-4, opening day here in Metro Detroit. Ernie Harwell, rest in peace, would be very proud.
And he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
Thank you, Ernie. Matt Vierling was the opening day leadoff hitter, by the way. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it would have been somebody else.
Well, J.P. Sears was on the mound, so that probably had something to do with it, right? He's right. A lefty? Is he a lefty? Am I crazy?
He had a... looked like it was a decent game for him as well. I mean,
I am mental, but yeah, JP's a lefty. Yeah, I knew that. So that makes a lot of sense why Vierling, because Parker Meadows has been leading off for the Tigers a bit, but not against the lefty today. Anyways, Alex Lang got a save, dude. So now people who spent all this money on Jason Foley 5 days ago are freaking out now a little bit. Like, Alex Lang's back in the mix. And if I rage dropped Alex Lang a few times already, does that mean I'm in trouble? Or is this just a one-off? I don't know.
Right. I may have rage dropped him also. So don't feel like you're alone.
Well, he only pitched... They really match up to this thing, it looks like, because Andrew Chafin came in for 2/3 of an inning, got 2 walks, struck somebody out. Alex Lang got a 1/3 of an inning save. That's it. He struck out 1 guy, and that was the save.
Right.
So I'm not going to put a... Foley pitched 1 inning, struck out 2 guys, was flawless. He got the win. So this was a leverage situation, I guess. I'm not putting a lot of stock in this. I think this is a fluke. Yep. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I think that bullpen is going to be a little non-traditional, you know, or becoming the new norm. It's going to be a little fluid that they are going to pitch to some matchups. But I think that Foley's stuff is just, you know, the data's out there. You can see that his stuff is crisp and sharp and fast, and he knows what he seems to know what he's doing on the hill. So I'm with you. I don't think he's gonna lose the majority share of the closer duties.
All right.
Especially if he got a win. That's
true. You're right. Gilbert Gottfried screamed just for the hell of it. Britton suddenly looks a lot less chiseled and a lot more grandfatherly today.
Big muscles. What are you talking about, less chiseled?
Whatever, motherfucker!
That's what I'm talking about.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking about less chiseled and more grandfatherly, how awesome is Michael Garcia at third base for the Kansas City Royals? He was me and another buddy of mine, big hit to break out this season. And he's already got 3 home runs, a stolen base. I think we're looking at a 90-80 season incoming. What do you say?
A 90-80 season? Really?
No, but I would say maybe 30-30.
I don't know if he'll get to 30 home runs, no. But I do see him doing 20-40. That's possible.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a good player. He's a young, good player. He's only 24 years old.
His hard hit rate and his barrel percentage is just off the charts. He does really well with that. And so I think 20 is minimum.
Well, this isn't that great over here, though, Sam. Look at this. It's only 31% according to this graphic. That's not like...
When I'm looking at StatCast, he's in the 97th percentile.
Well, according to this is the pitcher list player page. Yeah. This is the pitcher list player page, which is their hard contact is total number of balls hit greater than 95 miles per hour divided by total plate appearances.
Okay. Well,
it's still solid. It's not like it's shit. He's up there. He's in the mix. It's not elite right now. It's not Matt Chapman levels or
Matt Chapman. First name I think of.
He crushes the shit when it comes to hard hit rate. Matt Chapman is the man. There's just no doubt about it. He's not a great fantasy asset, but he can crush the hell out of the baseball. Chad's in the live chat. He wants to know, are we jumping onto the Randall Grichuk hype train with him back and Alec Thomas on the IL? Yeah, you can do that. Go ahead. I never draft Grichuk. I'm never interested, but, you know, it's a good lineup to be a part of. There's a lot of runs to be driven in. He'll miss. He'll whiff. He'll create a lot of air with the movement of his bat.
Get trusted!
And Jock Peterson's in the mix. There's a lot of platooning going on there, so good luck with all that. But I'm not that excited about it. No. Grichuk, not excited. Sam, are you excited about Randall Grichuk?
I don't expect him to take a step forward after all the time that he's been in the majors. And if you need an outfielder, for sure, pick him up. He's going to probably get some good playing time with Alec Thomas sideline. But I'm with you. Unless it's a need that I need to fill and there isn't somebody more sexy on the waiver wire, I would absolutely, you know.
Good call.
Like, I would say, not to be the homer, but Mitch Haniger seems to be doing well. He's one of the only batters, him and Ty Friends are the only batters that are doing well for Seattle. And if I was looking for an outfielder and Haniger was still in a league that wasn't drafted, I would pick him up before Grichuk as an example of one of those outfielders. Now we're going to make
love, you know how I know. Okay.
I think Haniger's going to play all season. You're going to get
5
better at bats. Well, right? Like, if anybody's healthy, that's always the matter.
Yeah, but that's Haniger. He has a history, obviously. He does. You know that.
He does. Yeah. That's why San Francisco got rid of him for Robbie Ray. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Utah, give me 2.
Thanks, Dylan Cease. All right, make sure you check out our Discord. It's totally free. The description has the link. It's all over our Palazzo YouTube channel, 2L2Z.
Utah.
And, of course, five-star review on all podcast platforms. We'd love that. Our Spotify rating is not very good. Apparently, people are pissed. And when I say it's not very good, we have like a 4.7, which I guess is like having a D minus, which makes no sense. Because what if you had like a 2.8? Isn't a 4.7 way better than a 2.8? But if you don't have five stars, if it's 4.9 or 4.8, suddenly you're a piece of shit. These rating systems make no sense on Spotify. So kiss my ass. Stop ruining our rating on Spotify. But we have an excellent rating on Apple Podcasts. We have a five-star rating with over 70 ratings. So let's bump those up to 100. We're also on the quest to 1,000 YouTube subs. We just cracked 700 this week, so we're at 705. And, you know, I've been here since the show started. So to see that we got to 700, it's been a long... It's been 4 years just to get that far. So thank you, everybody. Let's get to 1,000. Let's get to 800, 900, and then a grand. And then we can do super chats. We can actually have advertisements, maybe get paid for something that we do here. That'd be nice. I don't think that's... Oh, it's not uncalled for to get paid for doing work, is it?
No. I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So... Thank you for subbing, liking, keep it coming. Of course, there's other videos on here I've been popping up when I can. I'm doing shorts. And there's also videos that I create when I can that come out of the Patreon, which starts at $3. You could also be a free member to try it out for 7 days and see if you like it. I've been really busy because I got this state license exam coming up next Thursday, and I've been studying for it. It was supposed to be yesterday, but I got a 7-day extension. There will be no more extensions. They told me this is it. Arbitrary deadlines. So... I've been really busy and I haven't been able to do as much Patreon stuff this week. But when I'm locked in, I'm giving you brand new updates on players I like with videos and analysis for reasons why. Rankings are dumb for the most part, but people do like rankings. I'm finally going to be publishing my first rankings of 2024 this weekend. And there's a host of other stuff. Check it out. Patreon.com/MJGoVA starts at this $3. If you want to pay more, you can, but minimum is $3. So, you know, you could blow that at Starbucks times three in a heartbeat. You're probably going to spend $80 at Starbucks this week.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. One coffee a week pays for a whole month of Michael Govier's brain. I think that
that's a hell
of a deal for people. I mean, if you're really looking at, like, how do you maximize your money in this economy? $3 a month in your Patreon? Money well spent.
Well, I don't have to convince Sam, but thank you for trying to convince others, Sam. You're the best. So there it is. I think that's pretty much all the news that's fit to print. Make sure you guys make the effort. Don't give up. Never give in. Keep trying. Make it worth your while. This life can be hell, but it can also be beautiful and splendid and filled with gorgeous moments. Don't let the good moments be destroyed by the bad ones. They're all coming at you simultaneously. Thanks for being here. And that's the business time portion of the show. Sam, is there anything you want to share with your... Oh, wait, wait. I don't want to end it yet. What about you? You got other work you do, Sam, so tell people.
What? Well, my other work has been kind of put on hold because of real life. I just signed a lease for a big building. I'm over here just trying to make it one day at a time as a dog food pimp. You know, my in business time, in real life, I get to say that my work has gone to the dogs and everything I sell turns to shit. So here I am.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sam.
It is.
But yes, you are doing the other podcast on occasion.
Yeah, I know. So I'm the co-host, me and Ryan Epperson, co-host Dynasty's Child over on the Dynasty Guru Network. Ryan Epperson is a really good dude that also does work over at, I'm going to say it wrong, I think it's Prospects Live, that he just got signed up for. So he's doing some fun stuff over there. What's that look for?
I don't know. I'm just being stupid.
Okay. Well, I'm normally the stupid one. Don't try to take over my responsibility.
Whoa. No, that's me. So we will share that burden equally. That responsibility.
Co-bozos? Is that the...
Yeah. Absolutely. Co-bozos.
We're all
bozos
on this.
Makes me feel good.
As Fireside Theater used to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I just learned what that was a year ago because I think somebody shared it. My dad used to listen to it or something, so...
Palazzo.
Really cool. Fireside Theater. It's funny.
I think everybody of our name is of our age. Their dads listen to Fireside Theater because my dad listened to it and quotes the albums and talks about when he was in the Air Force and teaching how he'd listen to that all the time and missed me. I couldn't get into it, but it's supposed to be funny stuff.
Jerry Reinsdorf is a complete tool.
Thank you, Dylan Cease. Yes, Jerry Reinsdorf, complete tool. Good to know. Blotso Podcast.
Blotso.
Two L's, two Z's. Thanks for being here. That's the business side portion of the show. Like I said, check out everybody. Follow Ben Chase, Big Gentle Ben, Robbie Baseball One. They did a great episode this week related to all the rookies on MLB rosters. They covered every roster and looked at all the rookies that are currently on Major League rosters as of this week. It was like a two-hour show, so it's filled to the brim. If you love Dynasty Baseball, do not miss the Prospects Power Hour ever. We offer everything here. We give you legit prospect shows. We give you redraft original baseball episodes like this one here with me and Sam Worshing. Follow Sam on Twitter at SamFBB1 at MJ Govier. Plots Podcast.
Utah.
Give me two. And with that, it's time to get into leading off. Oh, did I miss anybody that Britton got? Follow Britton Allen. Follow Mike Virginia. Follow Sam. Follow Ben. Follow Robbie. Okay, good. I got everybody. Here we go. Leading off. As always, in leading off, we give you the first catch of the day.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
So, we got a question here in the live chat, which you guys could jump in. Take advantage of live chat now. Do not waste this opportunity. Chad's here. What's up, Chad? Chad, what do you make of the Tigers' usage today? Was Foley in early because of the mess that Will Vest made, and they needed their best arm to deal with Langoliers, Seth Brown, and Brett Rooker? Or is this just a big mess? Well, as I said, I just think this is a one-off. Foley got the win. He was really good in his one inning, and he's been getting closing opportunities. Lang pitched one out. Got one out to secure the opening day save. Maybe it was a way to boost Alex Lang's confidence because he was so shitty. In fact, I didn't check the stats yesterday, but he only pitched once so far this season. That was last weekend in Chicago when he walked three guys in a third of an inning. It was terrible. And he was saved by Will Vest, who was able to get Eloy Jimenez, who is now on the IL, to ground into a double play. So, I mean, that's pretty much how that goes, Sam.
That is bullshit!
That's not bullshit. It's true. I'm just saying.
Right.
Sorry about Eloy, everybody. Eloy Jimenez, IL.
What a shocker!
There's another guy that's always injured.
What a shocker!
I mean...
No.
I want to be a little shocked. I want to, you know.
Well, sure. We all want to be a little shocked sometimes. We don't want life to just be a boring parade of endless repeating bullshit, right? That we've already seen and done and heard before 10 million times over. Am I wrong?
Ah! Whatever, motherfucker.
All right. So, Sam.
Yes, sir.
The catch of the day here. Usually the catch of the day, it's 1 week into the season. We like to highlight something that is worth noting, or maybe that's so bad that we have to take note of it. So for me, as the season has kicked off, 1 week of Major League Baseball, obviously Ronel Blanco threw a no-hitter this week. That happened. Yes. That's kind of old news now, but I want to give a shout-out to Ronel, who was a guy that, if you go back in our Draft Prep 2024 playlist, by the way, the entire series, this should have been in the business time, Sam, I blew this. Our 2024 draft prep series is all combined with like 25 videos in a playlist. It's really, really great. Save that for next year, by the way. But we also did, which Sam did several episodes of, the next big three prospects for every Major League Baseball team, all 30 teams.
Don't be that guy.
I am that guy. I'm telling you. And we have it all in a playlist. 10 episodes, three teams per episode. Check that out. The next big three prospects. That's a gift that'll keep on giving all year long.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you're in Dynasty or any kind of deep Dynasty leagues, them and the names they talked about, I was really impressed with how thorough their knowledge base was and the contextual information that they had about them. Like, they're really fun guys to talk to about that because they're, you may not agree with them all the time, but they're sharp and they have a really a strong opinion that's based out of being reasonable, not being unreasonable.
Yes.
So
that's putting it mildly.
That's actually well said.
Gold. For sure.
That's well said. That's absolutely correct. You're right. You don't have to agree with them, but they're definitely doing their homework. That's the, all you can ask for. They're not half-assing it. Yeah, Robbie Baseball, somebody, Big Gentle Ben.
I don't remember who the original tweeter was, but Carlos Marcano retweeted about Ronel Blanco's first year in the major. So in the last week, he found out that he made the major league squad. his wife gave birth to their daughter, and then he pitched a no-hitter. That was 1 week in that young man's life. And he didn't start pitching until he was 22 years old or something like that. It was just... Or didn't Damn! Until he was 22 years old. Like, he was a late bloomer and just...
Yeah, he's 30 years old.
That's the excitement that I get with when we watch baseball. Like, I totally missed up. We should have talked about this in business time, because Blanco is everything that you want when you watch baseball. Even if he's a Houston Astro and you can't stand the Houston Astros, you have to root for that young man, you know. And I can call him a young 30. Man. I'm almost 50, so like I can still call him a young man.
Don't tell people how old you are. You're going to hurt our ratings.
Youth springs eternal. How about that?
I'm just kidding, Sam. You know.
Yes, I'm really only 27. This is what happens when you live in the Northwest as a Mariners fan. You go gray and bald. So,
wow.
And you want me to change? Fuck you.
That's Sam right there. There you go.
There it is.
I want to give you guys a little props to remind you that Ronel Blanco was discussed in that draft prep playlist that I mentioned for 2024. I was looking at him. I didn't know he'd throw a no-hitter, but I thought, this is the Houston Astros. If you could be a starter pitcher who has some decent stuff, who can miss some bats, maybe get a few wins, that's a guy you want to be in business with. Didn't call the no-no, but Ronel Blanco, again, these are the kind of guys we try to bring up on our shows. We don't want to just give you the standard fare. We do want to treat everybody with respect and give those that are just newcomers, or maybe you're kind of a fringe fantasy baseball player, we want to service you guys as well. We're not here for the NFBC diehards. They got plenty of their own shows, okay? We're here for everybody. This game is a beautiful game that a lot of people can get into. You can meet cool people through it. I mean, me and Sam know each other strictly because of fantasy baseball. That's a fact. That's not an exaggeration at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think to piggyback on what you just said, Mike, you know, this is... It, you may not, Mike and I were lucky. We met each other and we became really good friends. And I think we're going to be lifelong friends, regardless of what we do together.
Like, I agree. I'll lock that in.
Like, you know, you meet so many fun people that actually want to talk about baseball. And that's life. Baseball is life, man. It's not soccer is life. Baseball is life. And so this is one of those spaces in the fantasy baseball arena where, you know, you can find a place, because we are here to just learn and talk and enjoy ourselves. And so I'm with Mike on that. It's a great place to be. And if this is your first time watching, sign up for the Discord, sign up for the Patreon, be a part of the family. Like, let's go.
Palazzo. Couldn't have said it better myself. Follow Sam on Twitter, SamFBB1. Right now, he's the mayor of Helium Town. Or are you the governor? Are you the mayor?
I'm the mayor of Helium Town. You know, this
okay.
This dictates that I have to be addicted to helium in April, because every fan of this team is our best time is sometime between November and March. Once the actual season starts, that's where the heartbreak is. So,
sorry about that. Sound Money, Bob Dole. Hey, buddy, the sea captain of Helium Town.
I'll take it. That's right. I'll take it.
Chad says, I have got something so bad to talk about. I had 5 shares. Jesus. 2 starts of Kyle Freeland.
Coors.
Oh, yes.
RIP. Hashtag RIP ERA. When Sam said that, all I could hear was Bill Withers singing in my head.
Which Bill Withers song? I mean, is it just the two of us? Ain't No Sunshine.
Yes.
He's gone.
I don't think you said Ain't No Sunshine. So it's probably
right, left handed. Like, Bill Withers is a whole catalog.
Oh, he's
great shit. So
it's incredible.
What Bill Withers are you hearing with me, Chad?
We'd love to hear that in the live chat, Chad.
I'd love to know. I'd love
Bill Withers is his voice, his words, they're timeless. They're beautiful. These songs are gorgeous. He's been in a lot of movies. He's probably, is he dead? I don't even know if he's dead or alive.
I don't think
he's whoever dead. Owns the rights to his, it was just the two of us.
I love that song. I love that.
Look at you, Sam. Sam, I'm proud of you. You pulled up the comment by yourself. Yay! Look at you, man. You're really growing up. You're coming to Screamyard Pro.
And there is a bromance there for sure. You know, you can't, game recognizes game.
Fuck so that shit. You're my friend. It's not. I don't like bromance. Not because it has any gay connotations. First off, I would happily suck Sam's dick. I'm just saying that bromance is a lame title. I don't like it. We're friends. We're pals. We're buddies.
I'm still romantic about your love for baseball. So even if you don't want to call it a bromance, I have.
Okay, you're right. Why should I ruin the party if people like bromance? why am I here to bring? Also, Bill Withers did "Lean on Me," which is a classic.
He did a concert at Carnegie Hall that you can get on Spotify or YouTube Music or anything. It's a whole live performance, and it's just one of the best concerts that they've recorded and will let you listen to. It's just phenomenal. And he's got this song called "I Can't Write Left-Handed," and it's a song written from the perspective of a young man who just came back from Vietnam and his right arm's been blown off. And it just, like, it gets me every time. So it's, wow. Bill Withers is just wonderful. And I'll stop the Bill Withers tangent, but I love Bill Withers. He's great.
Well, he's gone. Oh. He died. Apparently, Chad updating us. Pandemic period took Bill Withers from us, but not before he left us with unforgettable, timeless music that we can all celebrate.
Yeah. And the pandemic was 12 years pushed into like 18 months. So I can't remember anything from that time period. It's really tragic for my small brain.
Fair enough. Yeah. Anyways, a thing I want to spotlight here is that right now, there's some guys playing some good baseball. And Brady Singer is a guy I put in a video 5 days before opening day, 3 days maybe, that I thought should be drafted more. I jumped ADP on Brady Singer in the main event draft we did on that Tuesday before opening day, the real opening day, not the faux opening day. And we got him at pick 290. And then he comes out against the Twins, strikes out 10, seven innings pitch, dominates the Twins. It was awesome to see. And now today he's got the White Sox. He's on the bump, which I expect him to do well. He's back. He's locked in. He had an excellent 2022. He had a 3.23 ERA supported by a 3.40 Sierra. And that's over 150 innings pitched, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Brady Singer, this guy's going to be a borderline all-star this year. He's absolutely going to blow away his ADP with the return of the value that he will put together with his statistical output in 2024. And I'm really happy about it. I hope you guys got in business with Brady Singer. It was worth it to pay the price. Even if he mayor of Helium Town, Sam, knows that the prices go up when the helium takes off.
Oh, so, absolutely. And
I mean, that's why Helium Town's always struggling to, you know, stay within inflation. It's just really hard.
Well, and I think that there's something different that Kansas City seems to be doing. You know, the emergence of Cole Reagans and having Singer step up. You know, Kansas City has been a real wasteland for pitching for a long time. They just don't seem to be able to get to develop their own starting pitching. Like, they had Zach Greinke, but they had to sign him as a free agent, right? And so I'm excited about this.
Wow, dude.
Because they've got a really, I brought up Michael Garcia earlier, Bobby Witt's losing his mind. Sound Money brings up Marsh has been good.
I love Marsh.
They have really Marsh. An interesting young team. And no offense to any other teams that we like in the AL Central, it's a real division that's up for grabs. That, you know, 1 week into it, there are some movers and some shakers, but it's a long season. And I think Kansas City is still looking good for potentially being a wild card this year. I don't think that they have enough to win the division. I think it's either going to be Minnesota or Detroit. But if one of those two teams falls aside, you know, Kansas City could do something. So,
yeah, I love Kansas City. I'm locking that in. I tell people the AL Central is much better now. It is not the old school AL Central of death, of trash, of depression, of hopelessness, you know?
I want you inside me.
Yeah. I want the whole AL Central inside me. This place kicks ass. Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland. Those four teams right there are all going to fight for this division. For real. Kansas City's offense is kicking ass. They're scoring double digits in games multiple times already this season. They got so many bats that are tantalizing for fantasy that I know Kansas City's park isn't as exciting, but when summer rolls around and it gets hot as hell, 105 degrees in Kansas City in the summertime, the balls will be flying out of that park. Into the fountains, and Brady Singer will be getting victories. Alec Marsh will be racking up the wins. It's an exciting time. Kansas City's a ton of fun, and it sucks because the Tigers are on the rise at the same time for me. So I really love what the Tigers are doing, but I can't help but be smitten by this Kansas City team. I love this Kansas City team. I really do.
Go Tigers.
Plus Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh has been on a roll, and they deserve credit, and the reason has been because they've been getting first off, Jared Jones had a great start, so he exploded, speaking of helium. And now everybody wants Jared Jones on their roster, and everyone's waiting for Paul Skeens. When will Paul Skeens arrive, who's looked dominant to start AAA?
Right.
Also, did you see how the Orioles scored like 87 runs in one game against the Charlotte Knights, their AAA team?
Yeah.
It was insane. Yeah, yeah. It was an absolute... I saw the stat line on this game. I'll pull it up. It's bonkers. They just absolutely destroyed the Charlotte Knights, who are the AAA affiliate for the White Sox, I believe. The Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate for the Baltimore Orioles, destroyed the Charlotte Knights because the Norfolk Tides are loaded. They basically have like a major league roster almost.
Oh, I know.
With all that talent.
Oh, it's... Baltimore, the investment group that bought the two gentlemen that bought the Baltimore Orioles this last offseason bought a team at the right time. They are stacked and ready to run.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just, 25-28 is going to be a lot of fun for that squad. I mean, I don't even think that this year is going to live up to what they're going to grow into. So 26-11. That's good. And Kjerstad, 10 RBIs.
That's putting it mildly.
Yes, that's one game.
10 RBIs. I mean, yeah.
He went 5-for-7 with 10 RBIs. Look at this. Halliday goes 4-for-6. Connor Norby, oh, he only went 2-for-5, but he did have two walks. Then, of course, Kjerstad, 5-for-7 with 10 RBIs. Kobe Mayo, 5-for-7. Kyle Stowers, 4-for-7 with 7 RBIs, and he's an afterthought. Peyton Burdick, 3-for-5.
Everybody got a base hit. Everybody but two people got an RBI. Everybody scored a run.
Like, oh, my God.
That's
in on the. These are White Sox pitchers who got torched. Nick Nastrini gave up 4 runs. Padilla gave up 4 runs. Horn. Is that Sam Horn or that guy Horn from a few years ago? Oh, Bailey Horn. Never mind. Bailey Horn. Don't know Bailey Horn. Anyways, that was a really, really crazy-ass game, and it just shows you all the talent the Orioles have that is just oozing, and they won't make a trade. It's becoming more apparent to me now. I'm seeing a trend with my Tigers, with these Orioles, with some other clubs, Sam, that the AAA teams, they're happy to have like a bunch of talent just kind of hang out in AAA now. Or else we need an expansion. Because we have too many players that are too good that maybe should be up, which will happen, I think, in the next 5 years for sure. You know, Oakland A's could be playing baseball, by the way, in Sacramento.
Sacramento A's. So dumb. The Sacramento
A's. The minor league, yeah.
Of Las Vegas.
Yeah, a minor. Ah! I hate it! So stupid!
Yeah, seriously.
That's putting it mildly.
Wow, dude! Pisses me off.
We saw what the Blue Jays did in Dunedin. It was a joke. Their inflated offensive stats, which was fun to see. That wasn't who they really were, though. Ever since he'd been back to Toronto, the Dunedin experiment from 2021 was a fluke.
Well, that's the argument against Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is his time in Dunedin set him apart. I mean, it was so far removed from what he's done up in Toronto and in the major league clubs that there's some real curiosity. Is he as elite as people think he is? And I know that there are a lot of people on him and he's young, and I'm not trying to knock Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but I think you bring up a really interesting thing. And they've already started to look at some of the stat ramifications. How does that park play? And for the PCL, it is a pitcher's park, but it is still a hitter's park. You know, who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Oh, Bob Dole's always hilarious. The Orioles are still playing Gunnar Henderson. They should demote him and Rushman to get the Norfolk guys up.
Yeah.
That's putting it mildly.
Absolutely. Shit. I don't even know why they play Adley and Gunnar. That's ridiculous.
Adley's my guy. I had drafted him a lot.
So you mentioned the not trading. They did trade for Corbin Burnes. They
did, you know, so but they still didn't give up all that much.
Well,
DL Hall and Joey Ortiz, that's nothing to them.
But that's still a good thing. I mean, that's still a good return for a player. I mean, if I was the Milwaukee Brewers, I would be happy that I got that if I was going to lose Corbin Burnes. And we saw the attitude that they took last year in arbitration with Corbin Burnes that just completely set off, you know. Corbin Burnes, he's like, I don't even know what we're doing here. So you knew he was leaving Milwaukee. So I You know, I think Baltimore.
No, you get something.
I think Baltimore will trade those pieces if it's the exact right piece and not just to trade, you know.
Chad says he's not doing great, but Govier's boy, Davis Schneider, got another start in left field today, meaning he's two starts away from some extra eligibility. Thank you for bringing that up, Chad. That's right.
They need to stop. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, say it.
They need to stop playing Kevin Biggio. That needs to stop. I realize I don't run a Major League Baseball team, so I'm not very bright, but I have no fucking idea why they're still giving that guy at bats and he isn't just coming off the bench. Davis Schneider at least can hit the ball.
Preach.
I'm sure that his dad was a Major League ball player. His dad was a dick. He even says his dad was a dick. He doesn't like his dad. Like, whatever.
Craig Biggio, Hall of Famer?
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Dante Bichette, not Bo Bichette. Sorry, my bad.
Okay.
I apologize for all the Craig Biggio hate. That was the wrong player.
Come on, look at this guy's face. Look at David Schneider's face. Look at those glasses, that mustache. Yeah. He's doing it on purpose. It's hilarious.
It's just so great. You got to root for that guy.
He can swing a bat. This guy is a talented offensive player. He really is. There's something there. He can get on base. In OBP league, Schneider's a dream. We just need the playing time. That's all we need. Let him be a part of this squad. Second base, and then if we get outfield eligibility, that's just going to make me even hotter for David Schneider, who I was pushing heavily in the offseason. David Schneider was kind of my Spencer Steer of last year, I was hoping. And I'm not giving up on that. Is that Spore in disguise? That's a good call, Chad. Is that Spore? What's up, boys? Mike Virginia popping in to say hello. Have a good weekend, everybody. Yeah, that's right. Make sure you follow Mike on Twitter, @_MikeVA, and be there Sunday for the fabulous FAAB Waiver Wire Live Chat. Thanks, Mike. Hope you're doing well. Enjoy your weekend. Live your life. Play fantasy baseball when you can, but make sure you prioritize your family first.
Yeah, every time I hear that Sunday, I always need the follow-up of, it'll be $0, but you'll only need the edge of your seat. I hear that every time.
Wow, dude.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I don't remember that part. I just say Sunday, so I apologize.
Brand new San Diego Padre Dylan Cease, and you're listening to the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's, the most entertaining pod in fantasy baseball. If you missed it, I was traded away from Chicago. I was traded to the San Diego Padres, thank God. Jerry Reinsdorf is a complete tool. Dude is a cheap tight ass who knows nothing about baseball or how to run a competent front office. I feel for all of you Southsiders left behind. I wish Juan Soto was still cranking dongs at Petco. At least Manny Machado is still here. I know Michael Govier is still bitter for drafting Manny with his first pick in the main event out in Vegas last year. Stop whining, dude. I know you call yourself a bozo, but come on. You can't blame all your problems on us, Govier. Stop acting like someone shared your draft board online without your consent. Get some perspective. I mean, one day we're all going to die anyways. Again, thanks for listening. Utah, give me two.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
So I got a question for you.
Please.
There are four teams in baseball that I think are in contention for the worst team in baseball: the White Sox, the Athletics, the Marlins, and the Rockies. And I'm just curious, do you have one that you think is worse than another, or do you think all four of them are just equally problematic in their own wonderful ways?
No, there are worse teams than others in that grouping. I think it's unfair to put the Marlins, they've had a bad start, but they're not in that class. So I'm going to remove them. It's just a bad start, but you can overcome this shit. You know, it happens. It's a long, long season. 4 months from now, it'll still only be August. Okay. Season will not be over at all. Right?
Right.
That's putting it mildly.
So I'm not writing off the Marlins. They need to get some of those starting pitching back. I mean, they're not going to get, sadly, you know, I was going to bring this up, but now it's time to bring it up, right? It's the end of an era. It was short but sweet. It was not meant to be. But our pal, Eury Pérez.
EP.
He's gone. It's time to say goodbye. Let JT say it best. We will miss you. So long, Eury Pérez. Tommy Johnson, I took a shot on drafting him in two leagues just to see if this would kind of see its way through the elbow inflammation issue, and it has not gotten better, and now he's gone. So they don't have Sandy Alcantara, they don't have Eury Pérez, and they still don't have Braxton Garrett, so they're really missing a lot of pitching, and A.J. Puck sucks. I didn't draft Puck anywhere. I don't want him to fail, but I was expecting this experiment for Puck to become an everyday reliever to go to a starter. I wasn't expecting that to work. And so far it's been mixed results, and it could get a little bit better, but they're leaning on one of the guys they're leaning on right now, Sam. AJ Puck. We need you, AJ Puck, to save our season, and that's not gonna happen.
He's not a season savior, you know. He's not a piece to help the whole machine, but he's not the piece to make the whole machine move.
Coors. Sound Money says Rockies are a real black hole. I would agree. They're terrible, Sam. So they definitely belong in that grouping you brought up. But also, Chad says the Athletics are clear ahead of the Rockies and White Sox as the worst team. Agree or disagree, Sam?
So is that the Athletics are clearly ahead of the Rockies and the White Sox as better than or worse?
No,
than?
As the worst. I'm saying that. I'm going to label it.
Oh, no. I think,
says Chad.
I think that the Athletics Coors, are
the banquet beer.
they're better at baseball than they are at off field baseball. Like they actually, like they somebody made a point that they've got JD Davis and Blackburn. They've got some players that you could actually roster in fantasy, you know.
Also bye to Esteban Ruiz.
Well, Ruiz, Rooker, there's a whole series of them that were wearing these protest bracelets that are there all of a sudden not on the roster. So like, it's really, I think that those three, the more I think about it, the Athletics, the Rockies, and the White Sox, unfortunately, are all really competing to show the rest of baseball who is truly pathetic at trying to run a team. They're all just terrible. And I feel for all of their fan bases because Oakland and Chicago especially have such longstanding devout fans that are just, I remember watching Oakland A games 10 years ago where that stadium was packed and they had drums and everybody was loud. Like who would want to go to Oakland and play that team in that atmosphere? And it's just,
let me fill you in real quick on that. You're right. You're right about that, Sam. Here, let's fill you guys in case you missed it on this conspiracy related to the Oakland A's.
So they think because the players wore these wristbands, the team is now going against them.
Telling your boss you think they should be fired.
Yeah.
Probably not going to end well for you for the lion's share of guys. Is it shady if the team's actually doing this? Absolutely. Is that a bunch of rabbit ear stuff that they shouldn't be concerned about? Probably not. There's egos upstairs too in those different offices that got closed doors.
So they think because the players wore
So this bar called the Last Dive Bar in Oakland, and some of the players were wearing those Last Dive Bar in Oakland wristbands, kind of like Livestrong bands. You remember that guy before everybody found out that he was a piece of shit scumbag who was a grifter who exploited really genuine, serious, life-altering shit known as cancer to his own gain because he was an egomaniac. His name was Lance Armstrong.
Damn!
Yeah, what a dick. Huh? But that has nothing to do with them. But are Oakland's front office, is John Fisher a scumbag of all scumbags?
That's putting it mildly.
Fuck yeah, he is. He's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. The owner of the Oakland A's is a piece of shit.
How do you screw up moving to Las Vegas? How do you play that poorly that baseball and all the owners are letting you go to Las Vegas and you screw it up and now you're in Sacramento? Sell.
That's putting it mildly.
Jesus, I could do a better job of it. And I've never run a major league baseball team before. Like, that's pathetic. That's literally a case that somebody like me is actually running the team, you know, and that's not how you do it.
Don't call me an idiot, you punk.
Sorry. Well, we are calling Mr. Fisher is a piece of shit. There's this myth in America that just because you're a billionaire, you know what you're doing and you're a genius. No, let me be the first one to burst that bubble, okay?
Genius, genius,
just because
genius.
You have a lot of money or in a position of influence, you have a lot of money on paper even, doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're doing. You could be a total fucking idiot, a dipshit of epic proportions who has no clue how he even got on this planet. And he's still baffled by it to this day. And yes, I say he because usually it is a man who's a fucking moron. And it is a man who runs the Oakland A's who's the biggest doofus that ever lived.
A fucking idiot.
This says it all right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fucking idiot.
Well, I think there's this misconception that because you're a billionaire, you're somehow smart or hardworking. Billionaires were either born into the money or had an opportunistic advantage that they were able to exploit things. And they used other people's labor. I've never met somebody that billed $1 billion of their own work. You know, it's just...
Exactly. It's also true about women have actually... If you look at there's top 10 women billionaires in this country... So women can be guilty too. I don't want to. I shouldn't broad brush at all. The top 10 women billionaires in the United States, they all inherited their wealth. None of them built that wealth either. So it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman.
No,
who's a billionaire.
The money scale, I don't think people appreciate genuinely. Even smart people like us, I don't think people appreciate how large a billion is. I just don't think that people have conceptual understanding of just the dynamics that, you know, if you wanted to count to a million, one every second, I think it's, you know, 11 days or 11 weeks. It's 30 years if you're going to, or 30 months if you're going to, 30 years, no, if you're going to count to a billion. So it's crazy. And sorry, Joe, we're not here to bash billionaires. We're just jealous because if we had $1 billion,
no,
we'd be enjoying it.
Joe's fucking with you. Just got here. We're talking about billionaires. Did I magically transport into the Is It Safe podcast, which is another show I do with my pals Steve and Luke. We talk a lot about that stuff. So yeah, Joe, this is the Palazzo podcast. Two L's.
You talk.
Two Z's. You're here live.
Give me two.
Sam Worshing and me, MJ Govier. Follow Sam on Twitter, SamFBB1. I'm at MJ Govier. Palazzo podcast. Two L's.
You talk.
Two Z's.
Palazzo. Give me two.
Palazzo. And a few. Oh, Uncle Ted's here. Uncle Ted. What's up, buddy? AJ Fox. Why did I draft him? Oh, Uncle Ted. I can't believe you made a mistake. Like a you never idea. Make mistakes.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. It seemed like it a good idea.
I didn't, so I'm not worried. Oh, come on, Uncle Ted. You've made a mistake somewhere. He's always touting all his best plays, but come on, Uncle Ted. I know you've made a mistake somewhere on one of your fantasy teams. Anthony's here. I like MJ Govier, Fleshlight. You know, we haven't got a Fleshlight. We haven't secured a deal with them for any commercial opportunities, but we are open. So we take all comers. No, Sam says no. Chad says Rockies are losing in the first inning again.
Coors.
Well, they're the worst team in baseball, I think. The A's are a mess, but there's talent on the A's that are fantasy usefulness on the Oakland A's. So from a fantasy perspective, the Rockies might be the worst team because I actually like some players on the White Sox as well. Michael Kopech. Hey, look who's got starting pitching eligibility and who's a closer now. Who told you about Michael Kopech 2 weeks ago in five guys who could be closing sooner than later? Michael Kopech was one of them. I told you. Oh, I hit the wrong button, so I blew my bit there. But I don't know everything. I make mistakes every day, too. So everything I do right, Sam, in fantasy baseball, there's three things I'll do wrong for sure. I mean, nobody has a 100% success rate. And we prefer not to dwell on the shit we get wrong, but we would rather find out why we did the things we did if we make mistakes so we can learn from them. That's a good thing.
And perfection only lasts in moments, and you want your perfect moment to be at the end of the season when you won your league. The rest of it can all be trials and tribulation, right?
Beautiful. Sound Money says, Wikipedia, Fisher is the son of Doris Feinbaum Fisher and Don Fisher, the co-founders of Gap. Oh, really? The Gap or Gap? Is that different than The Gap? And inherit his fortune from them. I think it's them.
Clothing retail.
What a shocker. That's how it works, man. The biggest myth, one of the biggest bullshit stories in not just America, in all the world, but it's really, really pushed way too often in America. And I'm not just telling this to you to say it's propaganda or to blow it out your ass. I keep it real. I'm always genuine. Genuine Govier. That's what you get 24/7, all right? Warts and all. But the self-made man is the biggest bullshit story of all time. There is no self-made man, self-made person. Every person. Every other person. Any person who did well got an opportunity. They were given maybe some funds, some investing money. They were given an opportunity to build on something. They didn't just have all the capital, have all the ideas, have all the infrastructure all by themselves. It's not fucking Trump. Now, Trump is a fantasy bullshit land if you don't know that. So that kind of guy doesn't exist in the real world.
I do want to say that there is something to, you can do things on your own. You can break patterns that you were raised in. And so you don't have an example and you're doing something different. And there are, you know, myriad cases across the planet of people who have overcome their upbringings or overcome things. But, you know, your
point, China,
to your point, man, we're all born from somebody. Like, nobody was born of their own on this planet. And so you had to have somebody at least get you here. You know, that you didn't just show up because you were awesome. And so, you know, and it doesn't give you the ability to walk away from your responsibilities, from your family, your community, and to yourself. So
that is bullshit.
Well, I don't think that's bullshit at all.
That's why I'm really love baseball. Glad. It's a team. You could put Juan Soto on the Colorado Rockies and they're going to walk him every time. Right? It takes an entire lineup. It takes an entire team. It takes an entire organization. There are hundreds of people in each major league team that are working to do that shit. And yeah, only the Dodgers, Houston, New York, a couple others are really spending money every year and really pushing it. But
you know. Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
I'm glad I called that guy Sam. That's why I'm glad we're on the show together here.
Wow,
also,
dude.
Just remember that. Final word there.
Money itself isn't lost or made. It's simply transferred from one perception to another.
That's right.
Like magic.
Yep. Like magic. Yep. There you go. Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas, fine effort. Anthony says, I like Trump. MJ Govea, am I an asshole? I didn't say that at all. No, you're not an asshole. I'm just saying that Trump is a lie. It's a lie. The myth that he's, you know, he has every area and corner of the market from the moment he was, you know, he was the son of Fred Trump, right? Or Fred Frump or whatever the fuck his real name actually was, which we learned years ago. But the bottom line is this. If you want to believe what you want to believe, then go ahead. That's your business. But I'm not going to be a sucker. I'm not. I'll be a sucker many times in fantasy. I'll fall for players who will fuck me. I know it. It's going to happen. It's already happened.
Wow,
and that's just
dude.
The way it goes. But when it comes to real life,
I'm a sucker.
I really
try
to avoid being sucker. Oh, there
every
it is.
Day, I root for a team whose ownership wants to make money instead of win games. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge anybody for doing whatever they want as long as they're not looking to actually fuck with people or be a dick on purpose. Like, as long as you're just doing your own thing, I don't care what you like.
Yeah.
Don't care what I like. Don't yuck my yum. That's why we did it earlier today. That's why I'm allowed to have a bromance with you. You're not going to yuck my yum. And I accept that you do not have a bromance with me. I'm not going to yuck your yum.
No, I do. I don't like the term, but I do accept it.
So. There you go. There you go.
Chad says A's have lost 3 1-run games and a two-run game. They are honestly a bit of luck away from actually leading the AL West right now. Classic Chad. Okay, that's fun. Yeah, I mean, it's the first week of the season.
You know, I don't think that Billy Beane's gotten dumb over the last few years. I think he's dealing with one of the most incompetent owners in all of baseball. So,
well,
you know,
Billy Beane's gone, though.
Isn't he one step up? Didn't he?
Is he still in the okay, is he still there technically?
I thought he's now.
I thought he finally left entirely. I what the hell do I know? I thought he was part of that Fenway Sports Group now that runs all those buys all these teams across the world. What the hell do I know? I don't know.
Shit, maybe. I don't know. I would
is
say
Billy Beane.
You could cut Taj Bradley or Emmett Sheehan if you need pitching. If you have a spot on your bench that you can stash one of them, I'd say go ahead. Taj Bradley is a lot of fun. Sheehan could be a lot of fun, but I wouldn't necessarily hold hope.
Mm. Yeah, Taj Bradley, I talked about his pectoral strain, and I made the comp about Jeff Samardzija's pectoral strain, which is in the same time frame in 2018. He only pitched 44 innings that year. Yes, I know every human is different, and pectoral strains can be different, I suppose, but it's nice to have at least one comp. They're both starting pitchers. They both had the same injury, and the same injury occurred at the same time of the season. So it wasn't just like there was one variable. There's at least three variables they shared. That's why I brought that comp up. So I loved Taj Bradley last year, and I was excited about him this year, but I'm off this year because I just don't know when we're going to get anything good out of him. But I think I'd rather have Bradley than Sheehan, right? Because Sheehan, yeah.
I agree.
I can't trust Sheehan. Right.
And if you need a pitcher, I'd say go ahead and cut them for Jose Quintana. I mean, if you need a pitcher, if you need somebody that's throwing innings for you, I'm not super excited about Jose Quintana, but I think he's going to pitch you. I think he's going to pitch you innings. You know.
Yeah, he's good. Quintana will give you innings.
Tell your ratios, but what pitcher this year hasn't?
Oh, there's lots of pitchers that haven't yet, like Brady Singer and Alec Marsh. That's right. They're one for one so far. That's right. The dumbest game to play ever. And that's the game we're playing here. One weekend in the MLB season. What do we know? That Alec Marsh and Brady Singer are going to be Cy Young finalists.
Lock it in, evidently.
I like Trump. I like MJ Govea. Am I asshole? What are these questions, Anthony? These are arbitrary. That's fucking stupid. Get the fuck out of here. Anthony's also saying Ober killed my ratios. Yeah, yeah. Bailey Ober won start of. That was the same day he went head to head against Brady Singer, and he got smoked while Brady dominated.
I have Ober, and I really liked Alvarado as a closer. And
yeah, me too. He got ripped, right? But he got to stay true. He got a save afterwards after Alvarado got ripped for 5 earned runs, right? For the Phillies, the closer.
Yeah.
So he's still the best. I agree with you. Alvarado should be the guy you target if you're looking for saves or you're in a solds league. Alvarado's the guy you want to have because he's still going to get the majority of the opportunities there. Don't worry about that 5 earned run nightmare that happened to Alvarado. It sucks. I'm going to take it. Also, Sound Money knows best. Mookie Betts is the MVP. That's what we know. 100%. Got like 6 home runs. I saw Vlad Sutler tweeted this yesterday, Mr. Wershing, that Mookie Betts had basically lapped the field in best ball points for the cut line leagues on FBC, which is a best ball points setup where he's had 118 points and everybody else was at like 60, 65.
Right.
Mookie Betts been on fire.
And he's going to be second base, shortstop, and outfield eligible all year once he gets shortstop eligibility. That lineup isn't going to quit. You know, he's the example of, you can tell mentally he's always bigger than the moment that he's in, that there's never going to be a situation he finds himself in that he feels overwhelmed or, you know, Mookie Betts, this is prime time to just watch somebody work. He is phenomenal. And I honestly think he should have been, you know, I took Julio at 1-2 in a couple drafts that I had.
And I
would have, Betts might have been 1-2 over Witt, over Corbin Carroll, over Soto, over a number of players. Like, Mookie Betts just balls. He's like,
the lineup alone Freeman is better than Seattle's.
Oh my God, far and away. He's in that lineup and he's now that Freddie Freeman type where his floor is going to be so much higher than everybody else's ceiling. He's really just
awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
There you go, Joe.
And you're an asshole. Congratulations.
Anthony says, thoughts on Andrew Haney? Ugh. If you're in an AL only league, then I get it, which Anthony is, I believe. So Andrew Haney is definitely someone you should roster in AL only. But otherwise, 12 teamers, nope. 10 teamers, hell no. 15 teamers, maybe. Andrew Haney, he will just disappoint you again and again. He can never just get on a consistent roll.
Right.
And I know, yeah, so I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan. Also, Sound Money is giving you the Mookie Betts breakdown. 1.5 baseball reference war times 162 games divided by 9 games equals a 27 baseball reference war. I believe that's a baseball reference war, right? B-war?
I think that's right.
Oh, thank you for verifying that. I needed your romance to support me on that one.
There you
all
go.
Right. We need to say a couple. We got to go soon. I got to go. But we need to say a couple things that we know after 1 week, which we haven't said. We've talked about some players. We told you who sucks, who doesn't, who's hurt, who's out right now. Obviously, Eloy Jimenez. Also, Ty France, paternity leave this weekend. So he's unavailable, which is a bummer because I was hoping to get some offense from him at Miller Park, which would have been fun. And I'm also back in on Ty France. I never was out. I knew he'd be better this year than he was last year because he was pretty shitty last year. And Sam knows what I'm talking about.
So. I do. And I really thought that if he didn't take a step forward at the beginning of the season, they needed to have Tyler Locklear up on the major league roster. I don't think Lazaro Montes is ready yet for the majors. I think he's a year out, but yeah, France, man, he's so beautiful. I love
look
that
at this
man.
But we were comparing the hard hit rate earlier in the show, remember? Mm-hmm. For your boy Michael Garcia at 31%. This is 44. That's hot.
So
that's,
yeah, it's smoking hot. When we were, I went to the playoff game against Houston and we would chant for him when he came up. We'd be like, he's here, he's there, he's every fucking where. Ty France. Roy Kent from Ted Lasso.
Oh, I got the reference immediately.
My favorite. It's one of my favorite cheers when I'm at the stadium for Ty. People give you
Ty France. I love Ty France. He had a down year last year, but I knew he would bounce back. Seattle, as Sam knows, I don't need to say this. Sam could say all this, but just to give you guys the outside Seattle perspective that we also can see what's going on. We don't have to live in Seattle just to know what's going on there, baseball-wise. But they were just a shitty offense last year. It was a disaster. Sam said at the top of the show they didn't replace a lot of the players who needed to cut down on Ks. So outside of that, Sam, I still think Ty France will definitely give you batting average this year. I'm 290 average, solid. The problem is, will there be enough power? That's the only concern for people who want power from their corner infield spot, first base, with Ty France, a guy that I love. He will hit for average. He'll score some runs. He'll drive in some runs. But will you get 25 home runs? We just don't really see that from him.
I think 20 is all you can hope for. I think that he has a 30 home run season in his bat if he's able to, again, stay healthy all year. But I wouldn't count on it. I think that if he has power to unlock, but I just don't think that he's going to get there. I don't think
he crushes the shit out of the ball. He's got that ballpark could be a challenge, obviously, but if he could lift that ball a little bit more often into the seats, the power is there. That's not the issue.
Right.
It's just, he's a line drive hitter. Like, he's a good batting average player.
Ty Francis. That's always who he's. That's always been his game for the most part. Yep. Now, Chad says, are we bringing up Michael Chavis? That's a classic name that keeps coming up every season that won't die.
Maybe.
Oh, Nolan Jones, RBI double. The Prodigal Son returns in opening day at Coors.
Coors.
That's exciting. Congratulations, Nolan Jones.
Great chance also, to die now.
Oh, are they going to bring up Chavis while France is on leave? Well, since they already put him on the paternity list, I'll have to check the transactions. I'm sure they made a move. Seattle did. Anthony says, Mets win one game and New York has an earthquake. That's right. There was an earthquake. Yeah, maybe the people who live in the New York, Philadelphia, East Coast area who experienced a 4.8 magnitude earthquake today should head for the mountains of Bush out in St. Louis. Although there's no mountains in St. Louis, I don't think.
I don't think there is, well, no. It's all the Midwest.
Well, it's the plains. But the Ozarks are in Arkansas? That's not that far away, I guess. Are those hills? Or those are hills, though. They're not really mountains. Don't know. Now I'm talking out of my ass.
Coaster. I don't know shit.
Yeah. I'm a West Coaster. I don't know shit, and we like it that way. God damn it, I keep hitting the wrong button. Son of a bitch.
That's putting it mildly.
I love 8-bit music. Let's go.
I do love 8-bit music, too. All right. What else do we know right now? Eloy's on the IL. Who else is on the IL? That is not a surprise. Let's see. Jonathan Loaisiga, whatever you say his name. Loaisiga of the Yankees. He's on the 60-day IL. Party's over for him, which is great news for Ian Hamilton. Again, holds and saves leagues. Ian Hamilton is a really solid pitcher. He misses a ton of bats. He's got a great chase rate. He pitched 2 innings the other day, struck out 4. He's a really, really solid bullpen guy. That's a smaller move, but that's worth it. Also, Brandon Lau should be okay. I guess he's not that injured. The left side, he had some side tightness, but it's not anything major for Mr. Brandon Lau, according to the MRI, Sam, which is a surprise.
Wow,
that's
dude.
Putting it mildly.
Brandon Lau, what would you do with Brandon Lau right now?
Exactly. What could I do with Brandon Lau? I think that if you have him, you run with it.
Okay. You can't drop him. Oh, if you're in a 12 or 10, you could drop him in a 10 team.
Yep.
12 team, maybe you probably could. You're not dropping him in a 14, 15.
That was attractive. You could move him in a 12, but I don't think you could do anything in a 15 team league. I don't think that there's going to be that kind of upside on the waiver wire that he has. So I think it's tough.
In a 15 team, you're right. Brandon Lau, he did hit a grand slam on opening weekend, so it was good to see that he still has the power, but you know the platoon city against left-handers. Brandon Lau will sit. It's Tampa Bay. They love their platoons. They always will. But he's had 30 home run seasons in the past. So the question is, does second base suck for you or not? Let me give you an example here. I have Brandon Lau on my 14-team head-to-head Cats team, right? He's on my roster, but I traded away the other day. Brandon Lau, by the way, who didn't play today, even though he was at Coors, the Razor at Coors, which is
Coors.
That's a real missed opportunity. That sucks. Hopefully Lau will play tomorrow or on Sunday. But I traded away Tristan McKenzie. Here we go. This is my roster right now. This is 14-team head-to-head Cats, 5x5 with OBP instead of average. Otherwise, it's all standard. And I traded away Tristan McKenzie to get this man right here, Edouard Julian. So now I've got Julian as my second baseman. Brandon Lau, I can not freak out about because I can trust the Julian who leads off for the Twins. He had a home run yesterday against Cleveland. Julian's a guy in OBP who's an elite talent. Very, very exciting player. And I traded away Tristan McKenzie. What do you think of that?
I like Edouard Julian a lot. A lot. A year ago, before the season, I was joking with Mason about him. Yeah. Oh, Samad Taylor. Let's go. You need a spark, and he's a spark. So, Edouard Julian. There was a conversation that I was having because I was in on Edouard Julian at the beginning of in the preseason of last year as a prospect that was going to come up and make a mark by the end of the year. And, there was a comment that he was in the home run derby down in Arizona Fall League when we were there the first year that you and I were together. And Mason made the comment that you can't take a walk in a home run hitting contest and that there was some real questions about Edwards-Julian aggression at the plate. And if he was going to be able to, I think he's taken that step. I think he's far more aggressive at the plate than he was a year and a half ago. And he still has that really wonderful eye for the strike zone, a good feel for pitching. I like him a lot. And I think he's a 25 home run hitter at second base for Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
To let him play all year. And I think that's why they let Jorge Polanco walk. Or they traded him to the Mariners, you know, for Tony Disco. You know, they didn't get much for him. And so, yeah, Edwards-Julian is sweet.
Don't be dissuaded by this very blue profile.
He's had a rough start to the season. I don't think that this is indicative.
It's only a week.
I don't think this is indicative of we're going to see him in the middle of May. So
there, that's one thing we know then. Decidedly less interesting than Chavis, Samad Taylor. Oh, well, sorry, Chad. But one thing we do know 1 week into the season here is that Julian's good buy low. Totally buy. I bought him low, and so should you. So if someone is not feeling it, go get yourself some Eduardo Julian, who is a leadoff hitter for the Minnesota Twins. That's a nice spot to be in. Anthony wants to know, Jared Jones or Garrett Crochet? That's a great question, Sam.
People really, really like Garrett Crochet. I've heard a lot of people chatting about him, but I'm going to stick with Jared Jones. I trust that more than I do Garrett Crochet. Who does Garrett pitch for?
He pitches for the White Sox, which is not good.
Yeah. So I'm sticking with Jared Jones.
I'll tell you this. Crochet, though, has been a guy that's always been a talent that we've all been salivating over. So it's not like he just showed up. It's just that he's always been hurt. Garrett Crochet's been hurt all the time.
Sure.
But if he's healthy now and the White Sox suck, but he can go out there and get you quality starts and rack up the Ks, Crochet is technically further along in his career than Jared Jones is. So if you feel more confident that, but Crochet's been hurt a lot, but if you're confident enough that Crochet is there now, and you've been waiting for this, and a lot of people have, so you're probably going in on Crochet over Jones. I think that talent-wise, I don't know if there's a huge gap here. It's just a matter of recency bias. Who's the shiny new prospect? Toy. Who's the old kind of dude, post-hype sleeper, post, that we're all sick of? And these biases start to mix in. But look at the numbers, look at the team construct, and look at who's available. Pittsburgh has a ton of pitching options. If Jared Jones falters, he can go back to the minors and work things out. The White Sox don't have a ton of options, and Crochet can just still be there for the White Sox.
I'd be real interested to see end of the season. I don't know. I don't want to make a bet or put anything on the board, but I'd be real curious to see those two because I think that's a real interesting question between those two pitchers. And I like Jared Jones more than Garrett Crochet. I'd be real interested to see how we feel about that come October 1st.
Yeah, that's actually a great one. We should keep an eye on that. Jared Jones versus Garrett Crochet. We'll do that. It'll be part of our show here on Palazzo Podcast. Two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's.
We'll keep
an update on that battle. Who ends up being a higher rated player? Who gives you more output? Who gets more starts, more Ks? Who goes down to the minors? It's all going to be interesting. Find out. Garrett Crochet versus Jared Jones.
Now, if Crochet gets traded to a contender, all bets are off, right? Like, that's if he's not in Chicago and he's somewhere that they actually know what to do with pitchers, I might feel significantly different about this.
That's fair. And it's really important to have these caveats. Proud of you, Sam, for bringing that up. All right, so
round one, fight.
Last call, Sam. Anything else that you know after 1 week of Major League Baseball that we haven't mentioned? Because I got to go.
One thing that we learned that the AL East is going to be a 4-team battle this year, and it's I think that the AL East is going to be just the race to watch all season long. I think that we've learned that this first week, so.
One thing we do know, and I didn't know if I pushed this enough, but my draft shares tell the story, okay? So I got receipts. Everybody needs those receipts. Everybody loves them some receipts.
Wow,
especially
dude.
On the Palazzo Podcast.
Palazzo!
But I drafted Tanner Houck like a madman. And then he comes out, dominates Oakland, who sucks. But according to Chad, Oakland's actually an average baseball team this year. So if you're to believe that, then Tanner Houck striking out 10 Oakland A's over six innings. Boy, that's pretty exciting. And the Red Sox rotation's got Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, Brian Baio, And Cutter Crawford? I like all these arms. Good.
Yes.
I love Tanner Houck, though. Tanner Houck was a first-round pick a few years back in the real MLB draft. He's got a lot of talent, but he was, I've said this on the show several times, he was fucked around with, thrown in the bullpen, thrown back in the rotation, him and Whitlock both. But now, settling in, being starters, consistency. I love Houck a little bit more than Whitlock, and I'm okay locking that in.
I like that whole rotation, and that's watching Boston that first series. If they play like that all year, it's that AL East is just deep and running with it. So
you got a first taste of that. That's right, because you took on your Mariners up in Seattle. Other things we know after 1 week of Major League Baseball is this: Michael Massey is getting set for a rehab assignment. The Royals bullpen. We just told you we like the Royals lineup. Is there room for Michael Massey? I would hope so. And he would make a difference in that lineup. He's somebody to take a look at. 14 teamers and deeper for now. Royce Lewis. Oh, here's a great one. Rest of season. Would you rather have Royce Lewis or Josh Young, Sam?
Josh Young. I don't trust Royce Lewis's injuries. I mean, I know that we were talking about
how could you trust Josh Young? Josh Young had the calf strain. He also got hurt last year. He's had a lot of injuries too.
It's my recency bias, as you might put it, that I feel like there's more noise than signal about his injuries and more signal than noise about Buxton's.
Royce Lewis's, but
I'm happy to be wrong.
Maybe that's the same player. Yeah. Buxton, Royce Lewis, what's the difference? I don't know. Maybe like 600 plate appearances over 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that question. Josh Young versus Royce Lewis. Somebody asked me that the other day, and I'm like, boy, I'd flip a coin, man.
Will they Marte?
No, I'm out of him this year. He's an afterthought. Peace. Right. See you next year, Manoel. Spend
it for 80 games for performance enhancers, and it's really hard to dip your toes back in. Sure glad I drafted him a bunch.
Also, paranoia about Ellie De La Cruz. After 1 week, apparently people are freaking out and they're getting panicked about Ellie De La Cruz after 7 days of baseball. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know he strikes out days. A lot.
Go ahead.
No, say it.
No, I was going to go into the other thing that I've learned. So
please tell me. I said
The other thing that I learned is that if Tampa Bay acquires a starting pitcher in the middle of the season that you need to trade for him or pull him off of the waiver wire, because they seem to do things with these late 20s borderline pitchers that Eflin and Savale are both just the tits when they're pitching. You know, they're not lighting the sky on fire with these, you know, phenomenal pitching ninja gifts. And it's not that. They're just dominating their starts. They go out and do what they're supposed to do. I'm going to pitch six innings. I'm going to give up two hits. I might give up a run. I might walk a batter. I'm going to strike out eight.
Zach Liddell is another name, too. He's pitching okay at Coors. So I haven't seen the update through a couple innings, but his first start was solid, and he's at Coors today.
Coors.
But I'll take Savale over Eflin this year. I'm locking that in. I'm not even kidding. You hear that?
Oh, I think they're both. If you have a preference of one over the other, that's great. But I think they're both solid.
I think Eflin will go backwards a little bit this year. Last year was so good for Eflin. I think he'll still be solid. I'm not saying he's shit. I just expect a little regression from Eflin because he was so good last year. And I know he'll probably get hurt at some point. But I expect this to be a career year, best season ever for Savale. He's going to have his Eflin season last year.
I could totally see that. I'm on board with that as a prediction.
Also, the video we did on this channel a month ago, March 8th, this year's Zach Eflin, Jack Flaherty, had a great start for the Tigers. Six innings, seven Ks, kept everything tight. No, not a lot of walks. Command was solid. Jack Flaherty, a one-year, $14 million deal, has to prove it. A prove-it deal with Chris Fetter as his pitching coach. This is not Tiger bias. I'm not a blind loyalist. I've said it 80,000 times. Jack Flaherty is going to be good this year, and I've never drafted Jack Flaherty until this year.
Great park, and you bring up the pitching coach there. The things that the Detroit Tigers are starting to do, because they had that big three. They had Matt Manning, they had Casey Mize, they had Tariq Skubal, and then they all shit the bed, and everybody was like, Detroit can't do anything with pitching, but pay attention, and Casey Mize is actually doing well. We talked about Tariq Skubal at the beginning of the show and how he's dominating shit, and Matt Manning's on the horizon to come back and doesn't look so bad. And so
He pitched great in that doubleheader yesterday.
He's back.
He came up. He was the extra man for the doubleheader yesterday. Okay, and he pitched five innings, didn't give up any runs. He walked four, but didn't give up any runs.
Well, it's a start, and it's a good place for him to be, a confidence builder. He's in a good park. They've got an interesting thing. And Jack Flaherty needed to get out of St. Louis. I don't know what's going on with St. Louis. Like, we talked about these teams that aren't running things well. They seem to have this constant log jam in their organization, and they're paralyzed by indecision or shitty decisions. Like, they got rid of Randy. Why would you do that for Libertor?
Whoops. Cause it's the Rays. They got your ass.
Rays know what they're doing. I may not like them, but they're great. So
Cardinals are living in the past. Matt Carpenter's a Cardinal again. I mean, why? By the way, he's on the IL with an oblique issue. So long, Matt Carpenter. Short but sweet.
Because that hard hit rate you brought up earlier, he just smacks that ball.
He does hit the ball hard. A little trade that came up too this week that you should know about. One weekend, Emmanuel Rivera was traded from the Diamondbacks to the Marlins. He's a third baseman. He does have pop. He strikes out a lot, but it's an interesting tiny move. Take a look at what Rivera could possibly do to help that Marlins lineup. If he gets consistent playing time, probably unlikely, more of a platoon situation. But if, you know, platoons against lefties, Rivera can mash. So it's a smaller, deeper play move I would like to share with you, Emmanuel Rivera.
Does he have a different position than third base? Because isn't that Jake Berger land?
Well, Berger has second and third, depending on what format you're on, what platform you're on.
Okay.
But yeah, he could play first base. He could also DH. So, you know, stay tuned on that. See if it ends up being anything. Also,
at the same time, he's interesting for sure.
Yeah, he is, right? Alex Cobb had a setback. pause that rehab on Alex Cobb. Don't get too excited. Alec Thomas, as mentioned earlier, hit the IL, hamstring strain. So, you know, this is a fiesta of platoons with Jock Peterson and Grandel Grichik. And Jake McCarthy's a guy who can steal a lot of bags, but that's all he can do. But if you need steals, Jake McCarthy's a guy to add for steals, especially if you lost Estuary Ruiz and you were really banking on Ruiz giving you a lot of steals. Take a look at McCarthy. And we all shit on, this is another thing I know after 1 week, we totally dismissed Bryce Terang of the Brewers. He hadn't even played a full season. He'd only been here for 1 year in the major leagues, and he was an afterthought. He was a highly touted prospect for the Brewers, Bryce Terang was. But in draft season, he was an afterthought. But now he's stolen six bases at least already. And if he can grow more consistently and have second and shortstop eligibility, give you 50 to 60 steals this year, Bryce Terang is a guy I've added in a few places, and I made a mistake. I was wrong. I should have focused in and looked at Terang as a deeper steals play as a middle infielder. And I'm trying to rectify that now.
I think that was a hard one to identify. I think that what he's done in the first week is potentially the first week of a bunch of weeks that don't end up like this. I think that you should get Bryce Terang if he's on a waiver wire. I think he should be rostered, but I'm hesitant with him. I want to see that play out for a month. If he ends the April with 10 stolen bases, I'll feel really good about it. If he ends April with six stolen bases, I think we just saw lightning in a bottle.
That's putting it mildly.
Look at this.
We were talking about
this hard contact rate. This is the lowest one I've ever seen.
Right. But look at his average. You know, look at his weighted on base. Like, he's supposed to get on. He hits for average. So,
well, this is the whole thing.
But I'm
Sam. This is the whole thing. That's the problem here. Now we're in a new era. The rule changes last year have changed the game. We were so locked in on hard hit rate in a fantasy perspective, but now that we don't have shifts and that you can put the ball in play and get hits, get doubles, you don't have to crush the ball. You can place the ball again. That's coming back in vogue. So we need to. Where there's already a conversation about hard hit rate and how we need to take a look at it from a different perspective. Guys like Bryce Terang are a part of that. But Cody Bellinger last year kind of led that movement because he had a great season, but didn't hit the ball that hard. But he was placing the ball more. He didn't need to crush the shit out of the ball. He was using technique. He was being smart.
Well, to that then, I would say if I was looking at second baseman shortstops in a league and I wanted to pick up speed, I'm actually still really in on Jose Caballero with Tampa Bay.
Oh,
I think
former Mariner. What a shock.
Former Mariner, but because Tampa Bay traded for him And they gave up Luke Raley, who last year had a really good season with Tampa Bay. And I don't think that he's going to have the season that he had last year with Tampa Bay with Seattle. But I think Jose Caballero, we talk about these platoons that they have, and they've got Ahmad Rosario, and they've got him, and they've got Brandon Lau, and there's a number of different players that are in those middle infield positions. I think Jose plays 100 games this year. I think
here are the guys that are 40 bases. Jose Caballero? Yeah, absolutely. They want him to play a lot, and he can steal bags. But that's about it. That's pretty much all he can do. But you're right. If you need steals, that's a good idea.
He's phenomenal in an on-base setting, and his batting average isn't bad.
Here's a few guys that are available in my head-to-head Yahoo Cats OBP instead of average home league. Blaze Alexander, who's been a prospect for the D-backs after Jordan Lawler died. Blaze Alexander's been up, and he's been hitting. Blaze Alexander can whiff a lot, though, so be careful. But for now, it looks like fun. I don't think Blaze Alexander's an everyday player, but he's having a bit of a moment right now. There's Tyler Wade, who never dies. He's just always hangs around. Braden Shumake of the White Sox now, former Brave. He sucks. He's a defensive player. Paul DeYoung's trash. Mason Winn is a defensive player. But if he could, you know, not be terrible and steal some bags, he might be serviceable in some formats. Yeah, otherwise, though, it gets pretty rough. Shortstop in this league, it's like, oh, boy. Jorge Mateo steals bags, of course. Javi Baez is terrible, but he's got two steals already. So I don't know. That's ew. That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is, but that's all right.
Blaze Alexander has an 80 grade arm, and that's about it, says Joe Lowry. Thank you, Joe. You said it better than I could. And that's going to do it. It did way more than I ever thought I would. And Sam, this almost didn't happen. Imagine if this didn't happen at all.
But it did. So we can be grateful that it happened instead of sad that it didn't.
Look what we would have missed out on, though. It's just a good reminder. Seeing it through, and I didn't want to let Sam down. He's a good man. He made the time, so I made the time. Back to the books for me, though. I want to thank Sam for being here. And Sam's part of the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Utah.
I'm part of the Palazzo Podcast.
Give me two.
So MJ Gobier. Sam FBB1 on Twitter. MJ Gobier. Palazzo.
Palazzo.
All locations on the internet where you find things. You'll find Palazzo everywhere. It's not hard to find. Two L's, two Z's.
Utah.
For Sam.
Give me two. Sure.
Hell yeah, you can. It's easy as hell. Just Google Palazzo Podcast. It'll come right up.
That's right.
And we also have an email, palazzopodcast@gmail.com, if you want to email the show.
That's right. And I always like to say at the end of the show that, you know, my DMs are open. Life is short. And if you're having a hard time engaging, or you feel the frustration of your ratios being destroyed, or you just need somebody to talk to, send me a message on Twitter, man. I'm here for you.
That's putting it mildly.
He's a good man and thorough. Sam Worshick on Michael Gibby, Palazzo Podcast. I'll turn it over now to the man himself, Captain Jack
Palazzo.
Peace. And-
right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. Topman, your handling of the sheets to be lubberly and unnavy-like until the signal calls for you to spill the wind from our sails. This will bring us almost to a complete stop. Gun crews, you must run out and tie down and double quick time. With the rear wheels removed, we've gained elevation. But without recoil, there'll be no chance to reload. So, gun captains, that gives you one shot from the larboard battery. One shot only. You'll fire for her mainmast. Much will depend on your accuracy. However, even crippled, she will still be dangerous. Like a wounded beast. Captain Howard and the Marines will sweep their weather deck with swivel gun and musket fire from the tops. They'll try and even the odds for us before we board. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.